Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, this morning, as we try to do every Sunday morning, we want to ask the children if they will to come forward. I have a lesson I would like to go over with them from here at the front. Any one of you who want to come and be a part of it, you're welcome to come up and sit with us. But if the children would come and if they would sit on this front pew, give me just a moment to gather one piece of I already had it out. Amazing. Imagine that. All right. Hey, everyone. Hey. Yes, she is. Do you know what this is? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this long thing it looks like a horn is? It is a basket, but it's got a very special name. You don't know? They sure did. They sure did, and we're going to talk just a little bit about that too. But right here, this is called a cornucopia. Yeah, now your moms and dads and grandparents may have heard of that. But it's called a cornucopia. And what that is, it was a basket, or actually the first ones were animal horns that were hollowed out. And they would use these to go gather the crops when they would bring them in as the gardens would be harvested. And actually the Indians used those, and they were actually date back into the Bible days. They would use those to gather the crops in and gather the gardens in. Well, when that would happen, you know about the first Thanksgiving. You've already told me that you know about the pilgrims and you know about the Indians. Well, the cornucopia is also known as the horn of plenty. And it is usually filled with a whole lot of good food, like apples and oranges and grapes and squash and ears of corn. But it's a symbol of an endless supply of food. Now think about that. An endless supply of food. It never runs out. Well, today we know that it's usually made of a basket. Many years ago, I told you it was a horn that was used and it was filled with food. We look at the cornucopia this time of year as a symbol of thanksgiving. It is a symbol of God's blessings of all of the food that He provides for us. And when we think about everything that He supplies and everything that He gives us, every time we eat a meal, it's because God gave us that food and He supplied it. Every time we can go to someone's house or a restaurant and we can share a meal, it's because of God's blessings. This coming week, we're going to celebrate what? What kind of holidays coming this week? What kind? Thanksgiving. That's right. That's right. But when we're looking at Thanksgiving, we're going to be having a lot of food. And we want to make sure we give thanks to God in everything for the food that we have, for the parents and our grandparents. We want to thank God for everyone that's in our lives that He places there. We want to thank God for everything that He's done in our life. So when you go back to your classes this morning, and if you have those today, if you go back there, make sure that you give God thanks for everything that you have, and give God thanks for this church and for the opportunity that you have to come to church, okay? Okay, remember to give God thanks, though, okay? I enjoy immensely these children and being able to do this with them. And from what I hear, they they really enjoy coming up and being part of what God is doing in their lives and in everything like this. So this morning, as our children take their place, let's open God's Word to Psalm 50. I'm deviating off of my schedule of preaching through John's Gospel to go to Psalm 50 and take a look at a Thanksgiving thought today. As we look ahead, we know that Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I do want to say Wednesday, if you can make it Wednesday evening, we will have a prayer meeting, a special prayer meeting dedicated to Thanksgiving, where, honestly, I'll tell you now, if you'll come prepared to give a testimony of the Thanksgiving in your life, of what God has done in your life and how thankful you are of the things that He has blessed you with. I feel like that's a good opportunity for us to share the testimonies of God's grace and God's mercy and His goodness in our life and the way He blesses us. So Wednesday, for a Thanksgiving Eve service, I guess we can call it, we will meet, we'll share a little bit of Scripture, and then we'll have an opportunity to share with each other what God has done in our lives, in our families' lives, and how He has blessed us this holiday. Psalm 50, beginning with verse 12. God's Word says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." How is the volume on the sound? Is it okay? Is everything okay? Great. Well, then, as I read this, and as I read it previously in putting together this message, I came up with one very crucial question. What is Thanksgiving? We know that Thursday we're going to gather with friends and family, and we're going to have dinner, and probably there will be gatherings on Friday, and there'll probably be gatherings on Saturday. And because with families spread out the way that they are, it's impossible for everyone to be at everybody's house at the same time, the same day of the week. But regardless, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving with plenty of food. There will be turkeys and hams, and there will be all kinds of vegetables and all kinds of fixings, and we will call that Thanksgiving. We will watch football games, and we will talk about hunting, and we will go into a lot of different things about the time of the year. We may even reflect with our children and grandchildren on the Plymouth, Massachusetts, the Plymouth Rock, and the landing of the Pilgrims, and that first year. And as we think of, as we do that, we will come back to that first winter and the struggles that the Pilgrims had. We remember not only their struggles, but we remember how God has saw and pulled them through those struggles. We remember how God brought them through and put the Indians there, the Native Americans there, to help them and to help them survive. And then we remember the feast that took place afterwards. That is our historical and traditional Thanksgiving in America. But Thanksgiving goes back much farther. We read from God's Word in verse 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Thanksgiving should be just as spiritual in our homes as Easter and Christmas. As a matter of fact, we can discuss it to the point and arguably say it could be more spiritual, really. Yes, we know that the Savior was born, the incarnate birth of Christ, and we know that He was resurrected on the third day after His crucifixion. But after all of the calendars have been mingled and mangled around over the generations that have came before us, we really don't know for certain when those dates may have been. Thanksgiving, though, can be every day of our life. And I want you to think about that today. Thanksgiving should be every day of our life. When we think about the answer to the question, what is Thanksgiving? It is today. Tomorrow when we get up, what is Thanksgiving? It is today. It will be Tuesday, it will be Wednesday, it will be Thursday and Friday and Saturday and so forth and so on for the remainder of our days. That should be Thanksgiving in our lives because of what God has done and what God has given. And what exactly is that? What exactly has God given and what exactly has God done in our lives? We can give testimony of many things. We can give testimony of blessings that have occurred in our life. We can give testimony of God's moving and miracles of health and healing. We can give testimony in a lot of things. But do you realize every one of us have three things that take place in our life that we have in common that God has done and God affects our life with these three things? First of all, realize that Thanksgiving is acknowledging the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. He is the creator of all. When we look around us, we see the beautiful mountains, we see the streams and the rivers, we see the deserts and the oceans, and we think about how awesome and how wonderful and how beautiful these things are, but how often do we give God thanks for the creation that He has given? And in reality, we stop and think about it, the creation that God has given you and I to enjoy is the very creation that He will one day destroy. All of this beauty, all of this wonder that is around us will one day be destroyed. Because it is God's choice to do so because of the fall of man. We can take that sovereignty of creation all the way back to the Garden of Eden and that sovereignty of creation into the point of man and woman, Adam and Eve, and the creation of all of the living things, all of the animals, all of the trees, the Garden of Eden. And then we had a very significant thing happened, didn't we? The fall of man. Adam and Eve had everything right at their fingertips in the Garden of Eden. They wanted nothing. All they had to do was keep the garden. That was all. Their needs were met. They didn't have to do anything other than that. They would meet with God daily. God would talk with them and walk with them in the cool of the day. God's presence would be there. And then they failed. They took of the tree of knowledge. They wanted to be disobedient. They wanted more. They wanted more than what God was giving them. Today we often see that in our own lives and in the lives of others. We want more. We have what God has blessed us with, but we want more. We have what God has worked out in our lives, but we want more. And sadly, we get to the point in life where we're willing to do or say or become anything as long as we can have more. And the devil will give that to us a little at a time. He will dangle that carrot in front of our nose, just out of reach. Just out of reach. Maybe we'll get a nibble occasionally. And we wind up in the same condition, going down the same road of disobedience. We are born in sin because of Adam and Eve, and in sin we choose to lead our lives most of the time in disobedience and in rebellion against God. And that brings us to another point of something to consider with God's sovereignty. And it is the fact that He is a Redeemer. God is not only Creator, and God will not only be a Judge, but God is a Redeemer. When Adam and Eve fell, and when they committed the sin that they did in the Garden of Eden, God could have done several things. God could have struck them away. He could have judged them immediately, and just as quickly as He formed them and made them, God could have destroyed them and started over. God could have destroyed everything that He had created and started over. But what did He do? Adam and Eve, after they fell and after they realized what they had done, they tried to fix it themselves. They took and they covered their nakedness with leaves. They covered their nakedness with things that they could fashion themselves. They tried to fix their failure. And God came alongside of them when He realized what had happened. And God said, wait a minute, what you've done is not good enough. What you've done is not in reality going to fix anything. God said, let me have this. Let me handle this. So God goes and He kills animals, and He takes the skins of those animals and He fashions the coverings that go on Adam and Eve. The first point in time in history where God redeems someone through blood sacrifice. You see, God is His sovereignty doesn't stop at being a creator. His sovereignty doesn't automatically jump to being a judge. His sovereignty stops off in the middle with redemption. And that's something we can be thankful for today. We can have thanksgiving this Sunday morning because God is a redeemer. He is a redeeming force. He is the only redeeming force in humanity. We can have good deeds. But it was good deeds that got Adam and Eve in the mess they were in to begin with. Remember that tree? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It had nothing to do with righteousness. It was good and evil. Only God was righteous. That whole knowledge of good and evil is what got them in the mess that they were in to begin with. It's what got us in the mess that we were born into today. God wants us to have something more than good and evil and a knowledge of good and evil. God wants us to have righteousness. But that righteousness isn't something that we can attain ourselves. That righteousness is something that has to be imputed in our life. And the only way that happens is if we are redeemed through Jesus Christ. If we are blood bought by Him, saved by grace through faith, if we are redeemed. Today, when we talk about thanksgiving, let's be thankful of the sovereignty of God in that what He could have done is destroy everything and start over. But what He chose to do was to redeem you and I. If you are saved today, you are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's something to be thankful for this morning. That is something to have as a reality in your life. Another thing that we can be thankful for, we can acknowledge our service to God. If we are saved today, we are saved to be of service to God. Now, we often take that and we expand it and turn it into things that aren't really biblical. They might have good intentions, but they're not really biblical. But when we think about serving God, let's think about something, that we are a redeemed bondservant. Yes, we are. We are a redeemed bondservant today. You see, before we were saved, we were a bondservant to the devil. He owned us. He controlled us. He pulled our strings. He made us go and do and say and walk and talk. You may have never had an immoral moment in your life. You may have never had an unethical thought. You may have never had a vulgar or a vile word. And all of that is fine and all of that is great and all of that is wonderful. But you were still as lost as the most vile, vulgar, immoral, unethical sinner that's ever walked the face of the earth just because you were not redeemed by the blood of Christ. But when you were saved, when you got to that point and you were saved and Jesus called you and you accepted Him, you became His. You were bought with a price. That's something, again, to know that we have a new servant. We are a servant to a new master, and that is Jesus Christ. And being that we need to follow Him, we need to seek Him, we need to understand what He wants in our life. And we need to be willing to fulfill that in service and do it not because we have to, not because we are obligated to, because we owe Him anything, but because we have a hunger and we have a desire to serve. To serve Jesus. And what does that do? That makes us a learning disciple. Disciple is a word that's not really understood today. We understand that Jesus had disciples. We understand that Jim Jones back in the 70s had disciples. We understood that all of Jesus' disciples wound up dying because they followed Jesus. And all of Jim Jones' disciples wound up dying because they followed Him. And the first picture that most people get of discipleship is that I'm going to die if I'm going to be a disciple. Well, I got news for you. Whether you're a disciple or not, you're going to die. God's going to be calling us all home one day. The point I want to make to you, are you willing to die for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to put yourself on the line for Him? Are you willing to sell yourself out to the one who gave His life for you? Are you willing to walk with Him and let Him lead you and guide you and direct you? Are you willing to be His spokesperson? Are you willing to be the person that tells others about Jesus? That's what He wants. When we talk about discipleship and we look at the Word of God, that's what He is asking. He is asking us to step up and do His work, to be His hands, to be His feet, to go to those places and to those people who others do not, who have written off. To go and talk to the prison inmates, to go and talk to the ones in the homeless shelters and in the mission centers, to go and give Jesus to those people who need Him the most, those that may be in the hospitals, those that may be in the hospice houses, those that may be in areas where their lives are getting to the point where they're going to end and they're getting ready to meet eternity. Are they ready to meet Jesus? It is the disciple of Jesus Christ who will love Him enough to take His word to those people who need Him the most. Into the colleges, into the universities, into the public schools, wherever it may be, are we willing to share Jesus? We can be thankful today that we have a service to that we have a calling. If you're saved, you have a calling to do that. Not everybody has that calling. Those running around in the world this morning that are lost and undone without Christ, they're wandering around in a world seeking popularity, seeking praise, seeking money, seeking whatever it is that's out there. And when they get a taste of it, they're okay, but then that taste wears off. And when that taste wears off, they're looking for more of it. They're looking for more popularity. They're looking for more money. They're looking for more power. They're looking for more prestige. There is never enough. There is never enough. All it takes is one taste of Jesus, and He fills you up from the inside out, and you've got so much that you're carrying around, just like that cornucopia horn that I showed the children here. It's overflowing with the abundance of the blessings of God, and they've got to be shared with somebody. We have the privilege of sharing Jesus. And that's something to be thankful for. And just as we have that privilege of sharing Jesus, we also have the privilege of leading others to Him. Telling someone about Jesus is one thing. Leading someone to Him is another. Let me tell you about where I work. Let me tell you and talk to you about the prison. Let me describe to you how it looks and what it is. And that's all fine. It leaves it to your imagination. Let me put you in a car and let me drive you down there and park in front of it and let you see for yourself and introduce you to it, and you can have it right in front of you and you can see for yourself. The same holds true for Jesus. Talk to someone about who Jesus is. Talk to someone and explain who He is and what He does and what He can do in their life. That's fine. But if you take them by the hand, spiritually speaking, and if you lead them to Jesus, and if you say this is where you can meet Him, if you show Him in God's Word where you can meet Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they can have that opportunity to not only hear about Him, but to experience Him firsthand. That is being a leader in God's family, a leader in God's service, a leader in all of the things that God has called us to do. That is something that we can be thankful for today. We have that calling in our life to lead people to Jesus Christ. And not only is that calling there, but we have been prepared to do so. We've been prepared through His Word. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon Me. Call upon Me. He says, in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. When you have problems and trouble, when you have difficulties and struggles, call upon God. Call upon Him. He may not answer immediately. As I've said, God answers prayer one of three ways. Yes, no, or not now. He never says maybe. He says not now. He'll say yes or no, and not now, or not now. Be patient. I shared with you earlier struggles that I was having, and I asked you to pray with me. I know God may be saying not now. I realize that, and I'm prepared to wait that out and wait on Him. But I also know that He will deliver me. I also know that when I call upon Him, I have the experience of God working in my life to know that He will deliver. He will make good on His promises. When He has used these circumstances in my life to grow me to a point where He wants me to be, He will deliver me. When you are struggling with something in your life, He will use that to grow you to the point spiritually where He is ready to deliver you. Then He will deliver you. Why? Because He's preparing me for a work. He's preparing you for a work. He's preparing us for things to take His Word and His work and His ministry out into the workplace and into the world. And that is something that we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for His deliverance. When He says He will deliver, that's His deliverance. Deliverance from the judgment of sin is something we've already experienced if we're saved today. We know that we have been delivered. We may not be delivered from the consequences of our decisions. We may not be delivered from the troubles and the struggles that the government is going to put upon us. We may not be delivered from social issues and problems and all of those things. We may not be delivered from any of that, but thank God today and praise His holy name, we have been delivered from the judgment of sin. We know that there is no eternal judgment. We know that there is deliverance from evil persecution of a fallen world. It may not be today and it may not be tomorrow, but we do know from God's Word that He will deliver us from persecution of a fallen world. And that persecution, if you haven't experienced it, you just hang on because it's coming your way. That persecution is coming, and it's coming into the streets of America. It's not something that's going to be brought in by a political party. It's going to be brought in by Satan himself because God's going to allow it because He wants the true church separated from the false church. He wants the real believers separated from those who just want to raise their hand and be believers. God is going to allow this to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you will. The sheep from the goats. But there will be deliverance. We can rest on God's Word with that. We can be thankful for it. We can be thankful for the deliverance of the struggles of life. How often have you looked at the checkbook and realized there was more month than there was money? How often have you looked and wondered and worried about whether the car was going to start? How long have you struggled and worried and thought about how this need was going to be met or that need was going to be met? Maybe the children had expectations and you didn't want to let them down, but you wondered how you were going to meet them. As a father, I've met every one of those. I have faced each one of those and I have faced them many times over. And I can tell you in every case, God came through. God delivered. It wasn't me because I had no idea how it was going to happen. But I know God did. I watched Him. I watched God work in the lives of in my family. I watched God work in the lives of my children. I watched God work. Even today, I watch God do this in the lives of my children and my grandchildren. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful He is a God that will deliver. I'm so thankful that He is a God that will work in our private lives and with our private circumstances and situations. I'm so thankful for that. And this morning, I want you to realize how thankful that you can be on a daily basis that God is in charge. That Thanksgiving is not just one day out of a year. Thanksgiving is not just a bountiful table of food. Thanksgiving is not just family and friends. Thanksgiving is knowing that you are redeemed by a precious, loving God that has covered your sin with His Son's blood and has called you one of His own. That's something that makes every day a Thanksgiving. And we all can share in that today. What is Thanksgiving? First and foremost, it's our attitude. It's our attitude toward God. And how do we carry that into life every day? It's not because someone may call us out, but because we should be wanting to honor God. It's not because someone may be pointing a finger and may say, you're not doing enough here and you're not doing enough there. Is God satisfied? Are we reaching to Him? At the end of verse 15 in the passage that I shared, the psalmist says, thou shalt glorify me. God says, thou shalt glorify me. That's what God looks for. God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to love Him. God wants us to glorify Him. This morning, if we could have a hymn of invitation, I'd like to ask as you'd come and prepare that. And as I close, I'll just say this. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to come back and you need to think about how thankful you should be to God. Maybe. What's God saying to you this morning? What is God putting in your heart right now? As we think about Thanksgiving, what have you got to be thankful for? All of us have something. All of us have something. All of us actually could probably find many things if we would just look. So this morning, as we sing this closing hymn, the altar call is this. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come and let Him have His way in your life so you can carry Thanksgiving with you?